This is Fresh Air. Occasionally, a cartoonist makes the jump from alternative papers to a major daily, and the work is quirkier or more radical than you'd expect to find in the mainstream press. Dan Perkins is one of those cartoonists. His weekly comic strip, This Modern World, runs in over a dozen alternative papers, including the San Diego Reader, the Minneapolis City Pages, the Phoenix New Times, the St. Louis Riverfront Times. And it occasionally appears in the magazines The Utney Reader, Z, and The Whole Earth Review. Now his strip can also be found on the op-ed page of the San Francisco Examiner. Perkins draws the cartoons under the pseudonym Tom Tomorrow. This Modern World takes on social and political issues. Some of the funniest strips are about how TV news covers those issues. Here's Perkins to read one of them.
In ancient times, our primitive ancestors huddled around the campfire in fearful ignorance of the world around them. In this modern world, however, the light of reason shines brightly as families gather around the warm glow of their television sets. And the TV is saying, coming up next on the news, terrifying, inexplicable events occurring in faraway places presented without historical or sociological context. And there's a family huddled around the TV, and the father is saying, geez, it looks pretty bad out there. And the mother says, I'm certainly glad we're safe here at home.
You know, I first saw this cartoon in the Village Voice, on the cover, I think, of a Voice literary supplement. And I thought it was a really shrewd piece of media criticism. How did you start doing as much as you've been doing about the media?
It's just sort of a fascination of mine. And a lot of people seem to just accept that the media is out there diligently reporting, and they don't really realize that oftentimes what they're reading is in effect press releases that the White House has given out. A lot of editorial cartoonists or a lot of cartoonists just sort of comment on an event. If John Sununu is misusing his White House airplane privileges, you get 500 cartoons about John Sununu taking the plane to the 7-Eleven, or if Dan Quayle does something dumb, you get 500 cartoons about Dan Quayle being dumb. But these are just sort of really surface obvious things, and what I like to do more is sort of take the event and then comment on how the media reports that event.
So you're looking as much at the system as you're looking at some individual event that went wrong.
Yeah, just sort of looking at the event and then taking one step back and looking at everyone's response to the event.
I'll tell you, if somebody gave me the assignment of coming up with a cartoon that critiques the media for giving news events without any social or historical context, I'd sure be stumped how to make that funny. I thought you really did well with that.
But what's funny is what I feel like I'm doing is just sort of stating the obvious, and the obvious is so absurd that it becomes a funny cartoon with really without my trying very hard.
Do you make a point of watching the news every night?
As much as I can stand. Out here you get the news, I think it's the ABC and the NBC news are staggered, so I can actually catch two different newscasts and McNeil Lehrer. I don't actually sit down specifically to watch the news, but I'm usually working at my drawing table, and I have a TV right there, and I'm usually watching it while I'm doing that.
With a name like Tom Tomorrow, people might just guess that your strip started off as a parody of futurism.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Of course, since we're on radio, I can't show your listeners my strip, but I use these old images, these old advertising images from the 40s and 50s, because they're out of context. They effectively parody themselves, you know, these blatant, smiling people whose lives have been changed by underarm deodorant. And the original premise of the strip was that it was this slightly futuristic setting where consumerism and technology have run amok, and, you know, very, very different from our own world, of course. But the strip gradually evolved from that to more specific political commentary, and as I did that, it sort of came from the future into the present.
Now, how were you originally exposed to these images from a past era?
I don't know. I basically just kept running across old magazines at flea markets and stuff, and there was something about their blatancy that really struck a chord in me that was just crying out to be appropriated.
While we're talking about consumerism, let me ask you to read your Meryl Streep cartoon.
Okay. The first panel starts off, "Hey citizens, by now you've almost certainly integrated Meryl Streep's advice on environmental matters into your personal lives." And there's a couple, and the man is saying, "Hey honey, what are you doing?" And the woman is holding an apple, and she's saying, "Why, I'm washing these apples to remove contaminants, like Meryl Streep says I should." And the second panel continues the caption, "But don't you sometimes wish you knew what Meryl Streep had to say about other areas of uncertainty in life?" And a woman brushing her teeth is thinking, "Gosh, I wonder if Meryl Streep recommends this brand of toothpaste." The third panel says, "Well, wonder no longer, for now you can consult the brand new Meryl Streep Guide to Life. It's a dictionary-sized reference book featuring Meryl Streep's advice on every subject imaginable, from dental care to child-rearing to nuclear physics, just to name a few." And there's a picture of this book, Meryl Streep's Guide to Life. In the final panel, there's a couple again, and the man is saying, "I wonder if I should use drywall nails or anchor screws to secure these shelves to the wall." And the woman says, "Well, honey, let's." And then they both say, "See what Meryl says." Then the closing caption is, "The Meryl Streep Guide to Life. Meryl says, buy it."
So a great comment on celebrity political campaigns, you know, celebrities espousing the issues of the day and also telling us what toothpaste to use.
Yeah, well, you know, like, that really, the best example of that was when those three actresses that were in some movie about farms spoke to Congress about the problems of the farmer. That's that classic, "I'm not a doctor, but I play one on TV."
Right. Now, and getting back to what you're doing visually in your cartoon, you're appropriating images from 1940s and 50s advertising, but then what do you do with it?
Well, it's a sort of Xerox collage process where I Xerox and I sort of paint out areas until I have a very high contrast image, and then I combine the images in whatever way that I want them for the cartoon, and then add a lot of zip tone, which is the shading film, which creates the big sort of pop art dots that I use all over everything.
Now, do you ever have copyright problems using images from advertisements?
No, we don't want anyone. No, it's my understanding of it is that stuff as old as I use is in public domain.
Uh-huh. Let's hope.
And just everyone pretend you didn't hear that question.
My guest is Dan Perkins, who draws the weekly comic strip This Modern World under the pseudonym Tom Tomorrow. More after this short break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Dan Perkins. His comic strip, This Modern World, is published in many weeklies and on the op-ed page of the San Francisco Examiner. Now, the pen name, Tom Tomorrow, tell the story of why you needed to have a pseudonym.
Okay, I was, the comic strip, the first place it ran was this small magazine which originates here in San Francisco called Processed World, which is a sort of a journal for radical office workers, which focuses on the dark side of the information age, as they say. And, you know, they were, for instance, they were one of the first places to discuss issues like VDT safety and things like that. And I started running in this magazine 6 or 7 years ago or so. And in those days, I was doing horrible, boring temp work in offices. And a lot of the other contributors were doing this also. And there was sort of this sense that if your boss or your temp agency or whatever knew that you were contributing to this magazine with this bad attitude, you might find yourself blacklisted. So a lot of people use pseudonyms, and mine just sort of stuck.
Are you sorry you have a pseudonym now? Would you rather change it to Dan Perkins?
Not really. It still sort of works as a mnemonic. People still remember it better, and it's just sort of a fun thing. I mean, it's not like I'm in the witness protection program or anything, and you know, I'm scared of anyone finding out my real name. It's just, I do feel a little silly when walking up to someone on the street and saying, "I'm Tom Tomorrow," because to me it's so obviously a pseudonym. But I think it works well.
One of the things you've been doing with your strip lately is working with a new character named Sparky the Penguin. And whenever you see the word Sparky, there's a TM for registered trademark above it.
Right.
You know, ready to merchandise. Tell me how you created...
He's sort of my anti-merchandising character.
Tell me how you created him, and then I'll have you read one of the strips that describes his creation.
Well, I... you know, back 10, 15 years ago when I was actually doing cartoons, I did these cartoons about little penguins. So I always had this penguin character sort of in the back of my mind. And I started feeling sort of locked into this collage format, you know, in using these old Happy Talk advertising images. The characters I use have to be talking Happy Talk. They have to be the only way I can make fun of Republicans, who incidentally I think are evil incarnate, is to, you know, have a character espouse a Republican philosophy just so cheerfully and so enthusiastically that it satirizes itself. And I was just feeling a little locked into that. I wanted a character who was sort of outside of that context, who could actually, I could use to just say what I really wanted to say. And so I started experimenting with bringing in this little penguin, and just having him say these really rude and outrageous things, and people really liked it.
Let me ask you to read the strip about Sparky's creation.
Okay. This strip is four panels. You have one character who's sort of a nerdy-looking guy, and he's standing next to this penguin who has these sort of punk-looking sunglasses that have a slit, like a visor, like a penguin might wear in the Arctic wasteland. And behind them on the wall is the title of the strip, This Modern World, as if they're in some sort of corporate boardroom. And that's the image that runs throughout it. And in the first panel, the guy says, "Hello, I'm Bob Friendly, director of marketing here at This Modern World. In an effort to increase the extremely low merchandising potential of this comic strip, I've decided to introduce a heartwarming and lovable new character, Sparky TM, the Wonder Penguin." In the second panel, he says, "Say, Sparky TM, wouldn't you like to share some of your harmless, irreverent witticisms with our readers? Something about your diet, perhaps? Or the trouble you have getting up in the morning?" Sparky just kind of looks at him blankly and says, "George Bush is a wanker." In the third panel, Bob says, "Now, Sparky TM, we don't want you to get too political now. After all, you might offend some of our readers. Now, come on, how about regaling us with some of your easily merchandisable greeting card catchphrases?" Sparky says, "George Bush is a wanker and should be impeached." In the final panel, Bob kind of looks out at the audience and says, "Well, he's a little cantankerous, but I'm sure that won't stop you readers from purchasing large quantities of Sparky TM tie-in merchandising, will it?" And Sparky says, "Dan Quayle is a wanker, too."
What kind of characters did you have in mind that are created for their, you know, harmless, irreverent witticisms about their diet or the trouble they had getting up in the morning?
Garfield the cat, most obviously, but anything like that. Just, you know, there's a lot of stuff on the comics page, a lot of comics that are, you know, basically merchandising vehicles. Let me make one more comment about this strip. This one was the first one that ran in the San Francisco Examiner when I went into that paper, and I think it made me the first commentator to call the president a wanker on the op-ed page of a major daily paper.
Did they have any problems with that? Did you?
Actually, no. They asked me to start with this one. They really liked it. which was certainly a surprise to me, but the publisher of that paper, Will Hurst, he sort of has a history of taking chances a little bit.
There's another Sparky the Penguin strip that I want you to read, and this is one where he shows up on George Bush's bed one morning.
Okay, in this one, the image, George Bush is sleeping in bed, and Sparky the Penguin is sitting on his chest with a large reel-to-reel tape recorder, and he's holding a microphone. The caption is, "Our intrepid correspondent, Sparky TM the Wonder Penguin, is on special assignment this week in Washington." And he's tapping on President Bush's shoulder, and he says, "Excuse me, Mr. President, George, yoo-hoo, wake up, you wanker." George says, what? And Sparky, in the next panel, says, "Listen, I've been wondering, why is it that the CIA, into which tens of millions of dollars are poured each year, has been caught completely off guard by many of the major political developments of the last decade or so, including the recent Soviet upheaval, the Iraqi invasion of Kuwait, the collapse of the Berlin Wall, and the Iranian Revolution?" George is kind of looking at him with a question mark over his head. Sparky goes on, is it possibly because they've just been too damn busy? Too busy propping up corrupt Latin American dictatorships, waging undeclared wars against impoverished third world countries, running guns and smuggling drugs, cavorting with terrorists and gangsters, and generally engaging in God only knows what other unconstitutional and illegal covert activities? And in the final panel, George kind of raises his head and looks at him and says, gosh, you're nowhere near as endearing as Garfield or Snoopy, are you? And Sparky says, I suppose not. Say, I was also wondering how you plan to deal with the humiliating disgrace which will ensue when your role in the Iran-Contra October surprise scandal is inevitably revealed.
Have you heard from, what's the creator of Garfield's name?
Oh, Jim Davis.
Yeah.
No, I doubt if he's aware that I exist.
So what are you going to do when you start getting, like, tongue-in-cheek merchandising offers to do Sparky? Like, say the strip really takes off, you know?
I think it would be wonderful to have a Sparky doll, which you would pull a cord and he would say, George Bush is a wanker. I think that would be sort of like my cartoon come to life, and I wouldn't be troubled by that.
Dan Perkins does the weekly comic strip This Modern World under the pen name Tom Tomorrow. You can find it in many alternative weeklies and on the op-ed page of the San Francisco Examiner. This is Fresh Air.